Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Hey, I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg, and this is Side Note,
a podcast where every episode we tell stories about and then debate a controversial topic.
And then we research and splice in all the mind-blowing shiznit throughout so you are entertained while simultaneously learning. Today we are going to be talking about Ellen DeGeneres because she has been in the news lately in sort of a controversial way. We're going to start with the stories about her and what she means to us as a public figure, and then we're going to debate sort of where she stands right now in the zeitgeist of culture. Today's Side Notes will be presented by me, Craig, and Rachel.
Hey friends, let's get into it.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. 2019.
It's a day on the calendar. The world did not end. Okay.
Are you excited for this new year, Greg?
Always, but actually we're like 7 days in and I'm like, why isn't it like in my face amazing yet? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, we'll see. Hopefully, yeah, I have a lot of optimism for this year. I'm excited. I think the podcast is going to be great. I'm excited for
this
year.
The glow up.
The glow up. And I just feel generally optimistic about things.
Every morning I wake up and I'm still tired and I'm like, why? You know what I mean? I'm like,
why hasn't my boggy body figured out how to
Yeah, my froggy body. But I'm like, yeah, like actually, I'm like, my New Year's resolution is to like do more. Why am I still tired? So I'm skeptical of 2019, TBH.
Okay, but you're giving it a chance, right?
I'm giving it a chance. I'm giving it a chance.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Okay, so what I learned this week,
okay,
don't
so
even
nothing's
start.
Changed in 2019. All right.
Okay, so is my tagline, okay? It's just my, what's that word?
Put it on a shirt. Put it on a shirt.
Put it on a shirt. Okay, so actually, they'll sell out. So I'm reading this book called How to Change Your Mind. Don't come for me, science people. It's the biggest book of last year.
Yeah, like you're actually, a little behind on the times.
Even 2017, now that I think about it. But it's by Michael Pollan, who's a writer who I love. He writes for The New Yorker. He's an amazing science writer, such a good science communicator. And it's all about how like psilocybin and essentially like acid and shrooms were sort of like taken away from science research and are now coming back in a new way. So I'm only at the beginning of it. But what I learned this week, Mitch is like looking at me because I'm like, how is this book not just making everyone want to do acid?
Probably so, is. I haven't read it, by the way. But
I need to keep reading it. But honestly, I'm just like, how do I get acid? Like, I want to do it. But if you are doing acid, okay, and if you are hallucinating, if you're on a high enough amount of psilocybin, that's from shrooms or essentially on a hallucinogenic drug, and you come to, say, a staircase or a door or anything that is, like, maybe going to give some fear in you, like, that needs to be opened. Like, if you're on this adventure and there's something you need to do, always do it. So when you're hallucinating, they found that, like, essentially if you ever come to a door, the way you'll start to have a panic or a bad trip is
that
you,
a common thing? Like when people come to doorways, they're afraid what's behind it or something?
Exactly. Like in your brain and the way that like it all works when you're hallucinating, there will always be these like decisions that need to be made. And in order to have like an effective trip, and a lot of the time they're doing it with like a psychologist or someone who's leading
these are being
them.
Studied.
You always open the door. You always follow through, even though there might be fear there. Because if you don't, it's like that sort of like limbo that makes people start to freak out. They're like, oh my God, I'm stuck like this or whatever. So follow your trip.
I'm not sure I fully understand. You just mean like they found when people were stoned, if they opened the door,
Stoned. They're hallucinating.
Sorry, hallucinating. I didn't mean stoned. When they're hallucinating and they open the doorways or they pass the barrier to
is
which
is when they start
afraid,
to like really have prolific moments and whatever. And whenever people have bad like moments, it's when they're not like they're literally like getting caught up and like being too afraid to like move forward
and
that cripples
them like beyond their hallucination or just in that moment they can't get past it necessarily. Like you have to
They start to panic. Maybe they start to think about death. Maybe they start to think about like all these things. It's just like a weird consistency that stuck out for me as I was reading it. I was just like, if I'm ever in this situation.
And that's like a beautiful parallel to probably real life too. You know, when you have doors, real or metaphorical, and you have fear, just go through them. Otherwise, you'll be paralyzed in limbo.
Exactly. And honestly, there's a part of the beginning of the book where he's like, everyone who's 40 should do acid in order to like set their life up for like the like latter half of their lives. Like, I don't even know how this book was like legally made, but anyways, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to finish the book.
I'm scared of acid. Don't people have like flashbacks? Okay, that's something we
literally a myth. Anyways, continue.
Oh, I didn't think that was a myth. Okay, mine is also from a book, hashtag the end of the year, hashtag we read so many books so we could like hit our quota of books we wanted to read in the year. But this book I read was called Flow. It was actually recommended by somebody who's a podcast listener, so thank you. I won't get too much into what the book is about other than it helps you figure out those moments when you're just like, how do you find the moments when you're kind of in your bliss and doing the things you love and what is the psychology behind getting to the point? But one thing it talked about was the physical limitations of our consciousness expressed in terms of bits, as in like computer data.
Oh, I thought you meant like comedy bits.
No, expressed in terms of like data, so like zeros and ones. So you can only, they found out in studies that your brain can only manage 7 bits of information at once, and it takes 1/18th of a second to switch between sets of information. And so as a result, you can process 126 bits a second, which equals 185 billion bits in your lifetime.
I'm confused.
So basically, it's just, it quantifies down to, that's around 23 gigs. So your brain is able to process 23 gigs of information in your life. And it's just a way to contextualize how you really need to focus on the things you want to focus on.
I know, is 23 gigs like a good computer?
I know, no, it's like actually not
what?
That it's actually not that much.
It's like
so
a
I was
MacBook
like,
Pro?
This book's like kind of old, and I'm like, I need to like think about like what this actually means, but and I need to like look at the update of like if this information is correct. I just like read it in this one book, but no, 23 gigs, like most computers have
is
like
my
1,000
phone
gigs now.
Oh no, 64 gigs is like an iPad. I'm not even an iPad.
Like you're,
I'm the cheapest iPad.
So,
th-
but thinking about your mind in terms of like there is a limited capacity physically, just based on how much you can think and look and consume at once.
But can and store because so, I can think things and then
storing
they're
gone. Is different. Yeah, storing is different. This is literally the amount that your brain can focus on in
at
your lifetime.
Time. In my lifetime, I'm and dumb.
So it's
Are
not about being
dumb.
It's about making sure you focus that energy into things you actually like and want to do. That was just kind of the message of it. It's like, hey, know it's limited, why waste it?
Which you've been on a lot recently, which has been really good.
Yeah, stop like doing
focus.
The stuff you don't like and just really kind of rearrange
or
your
stop
life.
Doing so much. I feel like I try to do so much and then it's just like,
you can't
I've
do it all.
Myself thin, and then I'm in the shower crying and it's like, oh yeah, I have two, I don't, I'm a really bad iPad. I need to chill out.
If you've ever listened to the song Vienna by Billy Joel, it's the message of life is, it's one of my favorite songs. It's just like, hey, slow down. You can't accomplish everything you want in your life. It's great to have goals, but also
slow down, man. Right?
But I love this song so much. Yeah. Anyway, that's what
I thought that song was about traveling to Vienna.
No, see, it's a metaphor for wanting to do so much when you're young and then you have to realize that like, you can't accomplish everything and just be okay with where you are.
Listen up, YouTubers.
Vienna waits for you. It's like slow down. It's
slow
Vienna,
down, YouTubers.
Vienna is a metaphor for all the things you want, I think. That's
why Vienna? Okay, wow, different podcast. Mm. Weird.
Story time.
Story time.
Story time. Story time.
Today's episode is about Ellen. And We shouldn't need to say her last name, DeGeneres. We're not talking about Ellen Page here.
Is she one of the people in the world that has, like,
Cher?
Like Madonna? Like Jesus?
She is,
oh,
right?
Jesus has a last
Ellen
name.
Ellen is like a brand.
Yeah.
Oh, Ellen. We're talking about this in lieu of some recent controversial things around Ellen DeGeneres, which we're really going to get to
that'll
in
be
our
the debate.
But in this story time, I think we need to talk about Ellen, because as a couple of guests... As members of the LGBTQ2S umbrella, she means a lot to us. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like kind of, she's just like a very interesting figure in our lives. And I think we like coming to think about Ellen, just even before starting this podcast, I'm like, we have a lot of stories about her because she is meaningful. I don't know if you want to go first talking about your experience with, like,
sure,
her coming on the airwaves.
Of course, yeah. So when I was younger, I used to, did you watch The Ellen Show?
Obsessed.
Yeah, I would come home. Was it on every day?
Yeah, every day, 4 p.m. Every day after school, I remember. But also, like, in the morning, too, but we were at school. She was a sick
was
day
it just
watch.
Like syndicated at like all different
times? Yeah, like 11 a.m.
But I just remember coming home and watching it with my mom. So like what I'm going to talk about is not so much like a story so much as like my experience with like being gay, because Ellen was on before I came out. I didn't ever watch her original show, so I never really saw the repercussion of her coming out on that show. I only ever knew about her from her talk show.
From her hit talk show.
Yeah, hit. And kind of knew the story that like she kind of lost her career because of coming out, but then like it was so beautiful and exciting to me that she was having an amazing career because of her new talk show, and like her being gay didn't seem to be a barrier at all. And so I don't know. I feel like in some ways it was exciting. It provided a lot of hope for me. But I also think back on how it sometimes provided a lot of false hope. And I don't know if it's because of the way the media is. I don't know if it's because she's a woman. Like, even in my
life. Wait, what do you mean false hope?
So I feel like in my circle of my life, like, I would watch Ellen with my mom all the time. And it never, ever came up as a problem that Ellen was gay. I don't even know if it ever was brought up in a negative light at all, even though she would talk about it on her show.
But you were worried that maybe it would be an issue for your mom.
Yeah, and so it wasn't actually that. So these signs all pointed me to thinking like, oh, like being gay is totally fine. And I remember I have like gay
like
aunts.
Ellen's gay, she's dancing, we're
yeah,
all dancing.
And like we're all watching this show and love it.
That's
and
the
aren't
impact
even talking
that
about
she
it.
Had.
Yeah. And I remember having like gay aunts as well, but it was kind of a secret to me. Like I guess it was never really talked about openly.
Yeah, which is important. To have gay aunts is one thing, but to have gay aunts where your parents say
exactly.
We love and accept
I honestly,
them is different.
For like most of my life, just thought they were close friends. Like it took me way too long.
The sad part of being gay, where like there's that weird time you bring people to your like family thing, you're like, it's my close friend.
Yeah,
it's like,
here's
when am
my best friend,
ever
Greg.
Brought a friend to like Thanksgiving? That's effing rare.
Like, I remember starting to bring you to my family's place. But back to Ellen, like, I feel, because then I came out, and my family now is like totally okay with it. But when I first came out, it was such a conversation around like they were so shocked, and it was like, you can't be promiscuous. It's so dangerous.
Yeah,
like, all these conversations.
It immediately is about sex. I say that a lot. I'm like, what people don't realize is when you come out to your parents, it's awful because also it's like, it's the sex talk.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, your
all
parents start going, wait, so, like, how do you know? You're like, oh, I hooked up with girls and, like, fingered them and didn't like it as much. It's like, these are not conversations I don't want to have with my parents.
Right.
And then they go, well, how do you know? And you're like, well, because I've been, like, making out with men.
Like,
and then they're
up.
Like, you're going to, you know, be safe because it's dangerous. And you're just like, you never talked to me like this when I was straight.
Yeah.
It's
and
just
so,
as, yeah.
Like, I just was thinking about this recently about how Ellen, as an example, provided like a really safe, happy, friendly, go lucky environment for people to see a gay woman in that didn't really exist for gay men in the same way, so far as I remember. It might have existed in other places or
but
for
it didn't
other people.
For you, anecdotally, for your mom. Like,
yeah,
you were never.
Yeah, and
you weren't a Will
and
Grace family.
I think like her and my family's and people around me, image of gay men was so much different. Than it was for like lesbians, and that's in my own personal experience. And
because I don't necessarily think
that it would
true.
Be easier for like a lesbian to come out, but for me, I started to think about like I really wish there could have been like a male version of that. And not that there's anything wrong also with being a sexualized male or a sexualized female, but that was like Ellen played a big role in kind of like showing that you can be different types of gay people.
Like she was showing you. At 4 p.m., coming home from school with your, like, Catholic family, that they were all loving this queer woman.
Yeah.
And just, like, thinking.
And she wasn't only defined by her queerness.
Yeah, and it was making you feel really good, but there was just, like, that disconnect because of her, like, accepted gender.
I think so, and I think that, yeah,
it's fair.
I started this by saying it almost was, like, an illusion for me because I saw so much love and acceptance around Ellen. I was just, like, in my mind so confident there'd be no issues when I came out. And I also convinced myself, I was like, look, my family has 4 siblings. They're going to be so fucking lucky to have a gay one. Like, it's really sad if one's not gay. Like,
yeah.
They've
actually,
got
it's
three
like,
straight
wrong
ones.
With you? And, no, like,
I really
no offense, but the straight ones are definitely the messed up ones. You know what I mean?
I really had, like, convinced myself it would be so fine. And I think all these little elements added up to my own disconnect with my family and where they're at and with society.
Yeah, like, I feel like when... Like, that would have been a smart thing to just, like, come out and then be like, but Ellen, You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Just you said
like,
oh, Elma's
like,
okay,
mom and dad, before you freak out, let's just think about Ellen right now. Mm-hmm. But it's like, yeah, you're right. They might be like, she's a woman. It's different.
Yeah.
And it's like, no.
And,
yeah.
and they might not have consciously thought that. They yeah. might have just, in their minds, subconsciously, their
That's
image of
go,
a gay
mom
woman
and, dad, Elton
and a gay
John.
Man. Yeah. right. And yeah. I think now it's maybe a bit different. Like, I think Modern
it's
Family
so
had
different.
A big impact on that. Like, seeing, just
this is all white gays. There's so many.
Is.
There's
That's
so
true.
Many
yeah.
things outside of that. Like oh, Simon, white gays. Moonlight. My parents are like, Moonlight? I always think of my parents like, Greg. Moonlight was the most prolific movie I've ever seen. And then I was like, okay, I went and saw it. And there was like that jerk off scene on the sand.
Oh, yeah.
And he rubs the semen in the sand. I was like, hi, and hi. Like, yeah, wow.
Like,
well, okay.
Is that your
boobar? But there's so much more to be seen now in the media.
Yeah, times have changed for sure. And Ellen was a huge part of that. And I thank for that. But it was also like a weird coming to terms for me as a gay man.
Thank you for sharing that. I think that was vulnerable. That was open. And I'm looking at you in the eyes and I'm saying thank you.
You're welcome.
It's been over 20 years since the famous puppy episode of Ellen's sitcom aired, in which she came out.
I think I've realized that I'm gay.
This was a historical moment, and it impacted the entertainment industry and the media, and it was a great example of why representation does matter. If we start just with anecdotes, people expressed after this episode about how it saved their lives and gave people the courage to actually come out. As well, it also opened the door for other programs to come out after that were centered around the queer experience. For example, Will and Grace, Queer as Folk, and The L Word. But there's also some science here as well. When it comes to science, researchers have been studying the significance that news and entertainment media have over the public's perception, with several studies suggesting that they teach the public about other societal groups, whether they be other ethnicities, women, or LGBTQ people, or even the elderly. Research also shows that to people within these minority groups, media can influence not only how others view them, but also how they view themselves. This was evident from a 2012 study that looked at how representation impacted children's self-esteem. So in a survey of almost 400 black and white boys and girls, researchers found that the only demographic that didn't experience lower self-esteem after watching TV was white boys, due to how each of them felt that they were depicted on screen, which you can imagine was in a more positive light. A more uplifting study also explored something known as the Scully effect. Researchers found that Gillian Anderson's X-Files character had a significant effect on female viewers, as women who regularly watched X-Files were more likely to major in a STEM field in college and work in a STEM profession than women who did not watch X-Files. Nearly two-thirds of women familiar with Scully's character credited her actually for the increasing interest they had in STEM fields. So it's clear that representation in media can have a massive influence on society, but we still have a lot of work to do to make sure we are doing the right thing. A 2017 GLAAD, that's G-L-A-A-D, report revealed that a mere 5% of characters on scripted primetime television shows were LGBTQ identifying. So while we do have Ellen, and we do have a lot of new types of characters coming up, things are, in fact, improving. It's important that we continue to hold the news and entertainment industry accountable, because, as we've said again, science shows that representation matters.
That felt so great. And it felt so loud.
My stories are so meaningless in comparison. Well, other than the fact that, like, our family was such a Rosie O'Donnell family, and I'm not comparing this because they're both white lesbian women. I'm comparing this because they both had the 4 p.m. slot, okay, right. as talk show hosts. Mm-hmm.
Were they ever on at the same time?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, it was like in succession.
Like it was like
one end.
It was Rosie, then
there
Oprah.
There couldn't possibly be two gay women on TV at once.
Yeah, like, it was Rosie, then Oprah. And then it was Ellen and Oprah. And those were like really important 2 hours of my life from 4 to 6. You know what I mean? Like I was obsessed. So I loved Ellen because it was like when Rosie was gone, I was like, what do I do with myself? And it was kind of like a similar type thing. So loved Ellen, not as much as Rosie. We're doing a separate episode about Rosie O'Donnell because I can go off. I can tell you everything. She dictated the mood of my family. Mm-hmm. Like if she was in a bad mood, my dad would come home and be like, why are you on bad mood? We'd be like, well, But Rosie's really upset about the NRA right now, and that's a big deal.
I know you're not a full Rosie fan because
what?
You didn't love Survivor, and she did, and I
did. I did love Survivor. That's why our family gave the A-OK to watch Survivor the first two seasons, which you didn't even watch live. She gave Colby a car. She gave Colby a car when he didn't win.
I did watch season two live, but not one. Okay, what's your story, Greg?
Well, honestly, this will be quick because I don't really have that many stories when I was thinking about it. One interesting thing is just like a tidbit, and that I was shopping recently for bed sheets, and I was like going through like the Bay or whatever in Canada. That's our version of what? Target? Anyways.
Not Target.
Oh, come on.
It's
what?
Just a giant department store, but yeah. Like kind of nice. I don't know.
Going through, and I was like, oh, this bedding's nice. This bedding's nice. I'm like, oh my gosh, this bedding is the nicest. Who's the designer? It was Ellen.
No.
Yeah. I'm like, so that's like what
Wait,
I started
Ellen
like,
designed it was like, sheets?
It's literally a photo of Ellen. It was really expensive.
She's
it was
on
like,
the bed sheet?
Like, yeah. Like, there's a photo of her face. I'm like, okay, do you design?
You
don't
mean
design
like on
bedding.
Packaging?
Like
or
on
you
the packaging,
mean
but
on the bed.
Yeah, no. Well, you know how like not like a life size cardboard cutout, but you know when they're like, this could be you, but we're applying. Oh my god, it's not the meme thing. But it was like a photo of Ellen, like she was fully taking. I'm like, you didn't
you
design this bed.
You aren't explaining to me what I'm asking. Was Ellen on the packaging, or was she literally embroidered into the sheets?
Okay, she was not embroidered into the sheets. I thought that was obvious because I obviously would have bought that. No, she was. It was like the Ellen font, and it was like okay. expensive. It was like beside Ralph Lauren, and it was a little bit one of those moments
Weird.
Where it was like, Ellen, chill. You know what I mean? I'm like, really, do you need to make bed
You
sheets?
Have enough money.
Yeah, I just was one of those like things where I clocked it, and I actually think I was like, I don't know if I want Ellen bed sheets.
I'd be into that if it was all leading up to like one of her comedy moments where she's like, you're all gay because you all sleep in my sheets.
Okay, that'd be really cool, but I just don't think that's going to happen.
No, it's not bad.
It is true. Ellen sells bedding. She also sells furniture and linens and fabrics and kitchenwares. She also has her own line of apparel, which includes tees, loungewear, stuff for babies, and of course, sneakers. The stuff is not cheap either. I'm on her website right now, and you can order a cashmere blend sweater for $98. This is all under the brand ED, Ellen DeGeneres. And of course, as a big-time animal lover, she has a collection for cats and dogs. Not only this, Ellen has been a spokesperson for JCPenney, American Express, and CoverGirl. However, her work with CoverGirl has been under scrutiny, as they have not always been cruelty-free. But as of November 2018, they have since stopped animal testing. However, I don't think Ellen is a CoverGirl anymore. In 2010, Ellen started her own record label, 1111, and she found people by watching their performances on YouTube. She even signed Charlie Puth after watching him cover Adele's Someone Like You. The label is now defunct and Charlie is not a part of it, but still kind of cool. There is a digital platform, EllenTube, which streams short-form original content, and she also has Ellen Digital Ventures, which is in collaboration with Warner Brothers. So this not only brings video content, but games like the viral sensation Heads Up, that game where you put the cell phone on your forehead and your friends try and get you to guess the, like, oh, you have alligator on your forehead and the time counts down. Yeah, that sold for 99 cents a piece and like over 25 million people have bought that app. She also collects executive producer fees on series like Little Big Shots and Splitting Up Together. I've never heard of those shows. I've never watched them. Let me know if they're good. Let me know if I should check them out. All this to say, Ellen makes money. She is worth $275 million and is the 15th highest paid celebrity.
And then the other thing about Ellen is that when it about Ellen about Ellen is that there was a time when I think it was right after we made the Periodic Table song / we also made the Science Love song where like everyone was tweeting like we're gonna get.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You on Ellen.
Yes.
Like my parents,
and
like
I believe
my aunts,
it.
Like everyone was like, we're sending us like, to Ellen.
Oh my
and
God,
I actually,
she's fully going to put us
yeah,
on.
I remember like watching Ellen and being like super jazzed. I'm like, what am I going to say? Like going to bed and just being like picturing myself walking out, being like, I'm good at dancing. Like I'll hold the rhythm. It'll be one of those fun moments where she dances with me a little bit longer because right. She's like, knows I get it.
I feel like you've told me this image in your mind before. You're like, yeah, I'm going to dance. It's going to be great. Like you've,
yeah,
like
I was,
it's
like,
a real thing.
Prepared. Like, and here we are in 2019, like dreams. Did not come true. Do you remember when she, this is like, again, we're going to talk later about Ellen's touch, out of touchness, okay. Mm-hmm. But do you remember when those like two twins came out as gay on YouTube to their parents and it kind of was like weird? Mm. And then she had them on and gave them each $10,000.
Like, I want that.
No, that
no,
is, yeah,
I was
like,
actually, that
weird.
Was when I was like,
you're
I
like,
think
I
we could get on Ellen. Like, it's not that hard.
But we weren't young and cute enough, I think, honestly. Like,
but
we're
that's
older.
Foiked? No, yeah. She has lots of diverse different types of people who have done random viral videos on her show. Oh, she does. Maybe. She really does.
Okay.
I like that part of her that she's kind of like, I'm YouTube.
Quirky.
I'm normal.
Yeah. She is very YouTube. Like,
yeah.
She loves
remember
YouTube.
She had that Tyler Oakley mm-hmm. show. She really does have this like weird connection to YouTube. That's what I mean. I thought we were going to be on Ellen.
And we weren't.
So the end of the story
I was
is
be
that.
On Oprah when
we,
I was little.
What? How?
I was just like, that's my dream. I don't know why. My family watched Oprah too. And I just remember being like, that's my goal. One
but like
day,
in
I'm
what way? As
Oprah.
A celeb or like as a person who like suffered like some horrible. Like,
no, like as a
burn.
Celeb. I don't know why. Oh. Like, doing what? You know, when you just imagine things as a kid. And when the show ended, I was like, oh my God, not all dreams come true. Life is not fair.
So the end of the story is, Ellen, are you listening? Oprah, are you listening? You have a podcast. I go
true.
On it.
Mm-hmm.
Rosie, are you listening? Sorry, I just like
Rosie's vindication is gonna be so good.
Oh my
when
God,
Trump
I am
is in jail.
So excited for Trump to be in jail. I am so excited for Trump to be in jail. It's all gonna be worth it in the end. Rosie, hang in there. We'll be back after the break to get into our debate about Ellen DeGeneres. A lot of you have been asking us how to help with this pod, and all that we can really ask from you, because we don't have a Patreon, is to just click download whenever you are listening to our podcast. Instead of just streaming it, hit the download button. Apparently that is what helps the algorithm, okay? We have honestly no idea if that's in fact true, but that's what we've been told. So we're going to tell you this now to do that. That's all we want from you, okay? Just to listen and to hit download. That's so simple. Not much we're asking from you. And you know, that's just a nice relationship to have. You know, we're easy friends. We're easy friends, okay? So hit download and we'll get back to the show. Okay, so this debate is going to be a little bit less formal in that we don't have clear sides, but
yeah.
We kind of want to talk this out loud with people. And this is about Kevin Hart hosting the Oscars and him, you know, then getting denied or actually refusing to host the Oscars because he refused to apologize.
Mm-hmm.
Having a kerfuffle with the Academy of Motion Pictures and all because of things that he had said in the past. And so what Kevin Hart...
Yeah, just give the context, like run down the story of what has happened.
Yeah, so he...
And how this relates to Ellen. We'll get there.
Okay. So, well, what was happening is that he was on Ellen, and we're going to talk about Ellen's reaction to this, which we think is a little bit weird.
Okay.
But he was told that he was going to host the Oscars. Everyone's so excited because obviously that's like a really big deal. But then immediately after that, a lot of people started to talk about what he had said in the past about queer people, gay mm-hmm. people, his son being gay, etc. So he called someone a fat-faced fag, which is like obviously pretty intense. Mm-hmm. Like even saying that word, I'm like, mm-hmm, I kind of start mm-hmm. sweating. he said that another from 2010 said a user's profile picture looked like a gay billboard for AIDS. He said, yo, if my son comes home and tries to play with my daughter's dollhouse, I'm going to break it over his head and say in my voice, stop, that's gay. And then also he has this bit that I watched where he essentially just sees his son grinding on another guy and he like panics and like pushes them over. And that's the joke. And essentially it's just like really in like a violent way, trying to make sure that his kid is not gay because being gay is bad.
And so these happened a long time ago.
A long
like
time ago.
8 to 10 years ago or something.
Yeah,
like.
8 to 10 years ago. Which is an important part of this story. So we're going to get to why this has to do with Ellen, but I guess maybe first we should talk about that. And it's like, he does say that he came forward and apologized about this during a specific press junket. But what was the most important part for us was seeing him then go on the Ellen DeGeneres show on Friday and her really get behind him and talk
about... Her whole stance was like, this is all crazy, it's just internet trolls, and I've called the Academy to say that
you should host the Oscars yours. Because yeah. I love you, because I went to dinner with you, we've talked this out, mm-hmm. I know that you are a good person, you deserve this, and that everyone online who was asking or calling you out was a hater. Mm-hmm. And this is where I think we need to start having a conversation, because when I watched the clip of them on Ellen, was really like disturbed is a bit much, disappointed. Mm-hmm. I was very disappointed in Ellen, and it really made me question, like, she's been saying recently that she really wants her show to have more like she wants to change her show to be a little bit more robust,
like,
right?
Have
like
a point of view.
Not just be like dancing in the audience or like random games, mm-hmm. which is all fun. And to be honest, that's what
that,
like but... I only have expected from her, because I've always found her tone to be weird when it comes to serious things. And so to me, I was actually like really upset about this, because what I think about this whole conversation and with Kevin Hart is that if you say things like that, whether it's 8 years ago, I think that you should just be prepared to be apologizing profusely for those mistakes for the rest of your life, because I don't think there's anything that wrong with apologizing. I think it's a really amazing, important aspect right. of all.
Like, it's almost like he has too much self, what's it called? Like, he's like so guarded that he felt like offended. Like on the Ellen show,
he
she helped make him a victim.
Yeah, yeah, he's like, and this was an attack on my moral character. It's like, okay, like actually a lot of people who were talking about this were queer people. A lot of them were actually like queer black people being like, this, you are, he has a lot of power within the black community. Saying those things about your son resonates with people a lot more than, and even mm-hmm. Ellen, to be the one to excuse him, I was reading an article about that. It's like, no, he actually should have talked with someone who represented more of the community he was actually damaging than her. She kind of brushes it off. She says, oh, you know, I'm gay, so I understand all this homophobia stuff. And then she moves on. It's like, well, do you really understand? Like, are you the person?
I think there's a couple different things that people are, like, conflating. One, we've kind of talked about call-out culture. And so I think people always jump on this bandwagon of, like, people are just pissed about everything, and everyone just wants to jump up in arms. It's like, well, that might be partially true, but that doesn't mean there's no real kernel of truth to actually analyzing what's happened here and realizing what he said in the past was damaging, was problematic, and whether or not he apologized, why is it so hard
to apologize again?
And to just say, and if he's kind of claiming, and Ellen's highlighting, like, he's now not a champion for gay rights, but he has no homophobic bone in his body, is what they're saying. And
that bothered me specifically. Right. To say that you don't, like, Kevin Hart saying, I don't have a homophobic bone in my body frustrates me, because I have a homophobic bone in my body. This is something I think is really important that everyone realize.
We're raised in a society that...
Because I have been raised in a way where I have to constantly challenge myself. I have to constantly, when I meet a fellow gay man, understand why do I sometimes have this weird, like, intense competitive nature towards them. Like, we all have this because we were raised in a homophobic society. It continues to be homophobic to this day. So the fact that Kevin Hart is claiming he doesn't have a homophobic bone in my body bothers me.
And I think what bothers us is that Ellen, as the interviewer, can't kind of challenge these in any way whatsoever. And I think what's, like, the problem is, like, she doesn't need to sit there and yell at him and embarrass him and be like, you are a shitty person for this. It's more like, let's, like, have a real conversation about what those words mean, what it means today, 10 years later, and actually challenge you a little bit. Doesn't mean we can't,
like,
care about each other.
Look in the camera and apologize. Tell the people out there who have now seen these videos that... and your tweets for the first time, of which
and
there are many.
And if you're such a supporter of the LGBT community, like, what people are asking for is just some solidarity to know that you still... Yeah, you've shown... I can agree. And I'm sorry, I don't know much about Kevin Hart, but he was saying, like, I've spent the last 10 years proving that I'm not homophobic. I don't make those jokes anymore. And okay, that's great. But it's kind of like... We don't need to congratulate you for the baseline of not hating people, really. I think it's, like, a big problem with... a lot of, like, men who try to join the feminist movement is that first they want to be patted on the back a lot. You know what I mean? They're like, but look at me, I'm such a good man, like, pat me on the back. And it's like, it's not about you. You're here to help, like, highlight and lift up other people and stop making it about you. Yes, you didn't say homophobic things over the last 8 years, maybe. I don't know. But, like, that doesn't mean that's what this is about. Just use this moment to lift the people up that you're saying you're not offending.
Yeah, and I think that's why, for me, thinking about Ellen, I was so disappointed. Because I do think this was an opportunity for her to really actually help him out. And even the way she starts it by being like, we went for dinner the other day. This is what starts to irk me a little bit about Ellen and about even celebrities in general, is I always want to continue to say this. I'm like, the amount of power that you have, with power comes great responsibility. And I think Ellen is an example of someone who wants the power. She wants to sell bed sheets, but she doesn't want to have to deal with the repercussions of her fame and her money and her access. And I think one thing that everyone in the entertainment industry, I think, needs to remember is that it is such a luxury and a privilege for you to be in that position that you should consistently be aware of your impact on the millions of people when you are existing. And I think a lot of the time they don't want to, because it takes energy, and I get it. They're literally humans and they have personal lives that they feel are being affected. But it's like Ellen needs to realize that she has the voice and she has millions of people watching her, that when she decides to have people like him on and not challenge them, she's doing a lot more damage than I think she realizes, because she's actually like, this is my friend. Mm-hmm. Like, I think she forgets sometimes. It's like, you can be friends with Kevin Hart, and if you are actually like a good entertainment personality, you will know, like Oprah, how to ask these challenging questions, right, in order for the audience and the world to be impacted positively.
Like, to grow.
Exactly. And like, exactly. And I think that that's what frustrates me in a lot of these conversations about celebrities being so scared about being torn down. I'm like, it's about vulnerability. If I know that I have said things in my past that I am embarrassed about. Mm-hmm. And if ever, like, they came up, I would be like, I apologize profusely. And in fact, if this apology is not good enough and there are enough people who think this is wrong, maybe I should question my ability to be the famous person that I am right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what frustrates me, is it's like, no one has the luxury of being famous. No one really deserves that, in my opinion. Like, to be that rich famous. And to be that famous, you need to be exceptional people to be in the position that Ellen and Kevin Hart are in. Mm-hmm. That I expect exceptional reactions to your horribly homophobic misdeeds in order for me to continue to think that you're doing something positive, mm-hmm, for society.
Yeah. And I guess, like, well, first I also wanted to say I was looking into this, and I think, like, Vulture and Don Lemon from CNN, is that who it is?
Yeah, Don Lemon's response is very moving.
And they were both like, you actually did not apologize. Like, I want to make this about Ellen, because it's what our episode is about, but they were like, we literally looked back into the research, the words "I'm sorry" never came out.
And that's the thing, is that Ellen says that he apologized for him. When you watch the interview, she says, you know, we all know you've apologized. Right. And I'm like, no, you're glazing over the exact issue, which is that we all don't know he apologized.
Right.
If
and
he did
even
apologize,
if he did,
on his
it doesn't
press circuit,
make it irrelevant now to just bring it
do
back
it again.
Up and just talk about why it's important to realize those mistakes and how your mistakes can help other people learn as well as yourself.
Which is why I think Ellen has done so much for, as we even said, representation. Like,
it's hard because you want to, like, lift someone up like that. She has done an amazing thing for people like us in the entertainment industry who get to be like, look, there's queer representation. It's monetizable, which is, like, gross to have to think about, but it's like, we're allowed to be part of this world.
But it doesn't mean that she, it doesn't mean that she,
gets,
she can't,
like, free pass.
To have a free pass in 2019 when there's a lot more things happening around these specific instances that she needs to be aware. And I think it's funny that she has a comedy special called Relatable. It's like, no, you're actually not relatable. And I know she's recently been saying she's worried that she's out of touch. And it's like, it takes a lot of effort and work to be in touch. You need to read a lot. You need to be very open and vulnerable. And it's both of those things that neither of them had in this moment. They were too busy defending their character without having to think about the repercussions and the damage that could be done. He said violent things. He was talking about violence towards gay people, mm-hmm, right?
Like, a lot of people
apologize
gay
for
people
that
literally
forever.
Deal with violence in their everyday life.
Yeah, and it's just like, if I ever said that, I would be so excited to go on Ellen to look into the camera and be like, I am so sorry. This is so embarrassing that this is the way that I felt before. Here are the reasons why I don't feel this way. Here's like the financial things I'm going to do. Here's all the things I'm going to beg for your forgiveness. And if you can't give it to me, I'm going to have to bite the bullet and understand, like, wow, mm-hmm. that is the damage I could have done. Mm-hmm. And I just, seeing him play the victim and seeing her like nod her head along,
like, highlight that.
Was frustrating. It made me feel so weird because I love her. Mm-hmm. I love her. I always have loved her. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, yeah, it's a hard thing to look at someone you respect so much and just be like, how is this? It felt surreal. Like, yeah. They were like CGI or something.
You're like,
wasn't
you're like
real.
Why is this? But it's weird. I was looking on the comments on a lot of those videos, and that's what I think, like, the conversation gets taken into this direction where it's like, oh, no one can say anything anymore.
Yeah,
and he
haters.
Apologized, and it's just haters. But I think everyone needs to stop and realize, like, I think that's an illusion. Like, of course there are some people who take it too far, but the people who are actually wanting to address this are doing it out of meaningfulness because it matters to them and it makes a difference. And we should be listening to the people who are, like, hurting the most. Like, Kevin Hart is not hurting the most from this. Ellen is not hurting the most from this. And so as people in positions of power who have money and aren't hurt, you should use that to look at the people who are going, like, this really sucks and you did something shitty and it would mean a lot for us for you to apologize mm-hmm. and for our queer idol to, like, push that apology and or just to understand, like, this is so much more layered is what this is actually
about. Yeah, it's a very not a nuanced conversation. It's very interesting.
But it is nuanced in some ways. And
sorry,
I think,
no, their conversation on Ellen
right.
was it's, not nuanced.
Exactly, yeah. I
like,
think, but the issue's nuanced, and
yeah,
it's very easy for people to be like, oh, this is just social justice warrior bullshit. Everyone's, like, so PC, whatever. He can't say anything. It's like, it's really not about that. And stop hijacking
yeah.
that. To pull away from the fact that there are legitimate criticisms of this whole circumstance.
Yeah. And that's it, honestly. Like, I do think that it was, to me, very interesting. It was very interesting.
So what do you
I
think
love...
of Ellen now? Like, I know that's just one moment in her very long history.
Well, I mean,
of being...
we are very different people. I am full skeptical. Will not be buying her bedsheets. but
I won't either.
I really hope that she can... I really am scared that she's going to think of this, like, even this podcast, if she listened, to think that we're, like, haters. Like,
no.
I think there's a, my worry is that she's going to become, like, radicalized in that way, to think, like, all the backlash towards her
right.
is all this, like, same hate. When really what I hope is that she would listen and understand and start to, again, look in the mirror at her power, at her success, and at her voice and think, wow, okay,
I think
how am I going to use this
that,
better?
That's the challenge for us and people like us, is to now go, like, give her the opportunity
yeah.
to grow from it and not
yeah.
just, like, shit
okay,
on
I'll buy her pillowcases. Not
one,
her full
one
set.
One piece at a time. But you know what I mean? Because I think that's sometimes the fear from people who make mistakes is, like,
yeah.
even if I
yeah.
fix this, I can never recover from this because people are just shitty.
No, it's,
and so,
it's vulnerability.
But
it's
it is both. It goes both ways, and I think so.
Yeah.
For people like us being like, you need to show and grow from this. If she does, we have to then accept that and not just always look for fault in her or Kevin Hart. You know what I mean?
If they redid this interview tomorrow, listening to the
and we're
repercussions.
Like, here, let's talk about the
and
real
And she was like, wow, yeah, like, this maybe was a little bit, like, out of touch. I would feel so excited. Mm-hmm. That would make me feel so, I'd be like, 2019 is the year. Like, we're going to, like, grow. But, yeah, I'm hoping that that happens. And, of course, I'm, like, willing to give her, like, the space to do that. I am. Like, I still love her. It
me
was just,
too.
It was disappointment. It was,
yeah.
Like, literal disappointment. And I am curious because sometimes I worry, literally, I'm like, when I watch the Golden Globes, I'm like, wait a second, all these celebrities are, like, literally crazy. You know what I mean? Like,
they are.
It's rare that you see them go up.
So much
yeah,
money.
Like, Rami Malek, when he was accepting his speech, I'm like, what? You know what I mean? I'm like, at least start by, oh, and, like, that's a whole other thing, but, like, all... Yesterday, all the straight actors getting all their accolades for playing gay people. I'm like, start your speech by being aware. Like, even, you know what I mean? He didn't even say anything. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
There's still a ways to go.
Yeah.
And ways for us to understand how we can, I guess, better communicate it or figure out if
yeah.
it is just, like, plowing the same point over and over and just being like, just stop and think about it. Just because we're criticizing you doesn't mean we're attacking you.
Well, we need to talk about, like, our own instances of this. Like, remember when we had sexist imagery in our periodic table song that we admitted. We were like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. We are men in a sexist culture. We thought this was okay at the time. Mm-hmm. We took down that video with millions of views. We re-uploaded it. Like, that was a huge mistake. I think that instance, talking about that more and more, we should do.
Yeah,
like,
that's
even
true.
On, like, I don't know, like, go because, whenever we're anywhere.
Because,
yeah, it's
a moment where you go, like, I actually am so sorry. I thought this was funny at the time.
Because I'm literally sexist, because everyone is, because of the world we live in. Like, I drew that picture because, without thinking twice, because that's what I was taught.
Right.
And I'm actually... literally, like, I don't know why people send me, and I sometimes don't know if I'm overreacting when I say, like, I am homophobic, but I think that that is maybe helpful for people to hear, because I don't.
Well, I think what's happening in society, some people think that's over the top, but I think what's happening in society is, like, there's a new age of thinking that's like, we get it. Like, most people aren't homophobic to the point they want you to die because you're gay. Now when we say homophobic, it's way more nuanced. Now when we say racism, we're not saying people who are like, you have to go to the back of the bus. It's like, no. It's like we're talking about systemic homophobia and systemic racism and systemic sexism. Stuff that's in us that influences the way we react to everything in our lives as opposed to actively being like, I hate women and I want them to suffer. It's like, no.
Because that does still exist at the same time. It so people does. Call that out and they confuse it.
And then they're
it.
Like,
yeah.
What do you mean everyone's homophobic? Yeah. It's like, well, we've been taught that, like, gay men acting feminine is gross and bad. And even
and
if
weird.
You don't believe that,
it's
still part of a world you grow up in where that is permeating society. And it is less and less, but, like, that's our new problem. How do we now get past that? And so... I don't know.
Oh, he's choking up. No. Yeah. Okay. That's
anyway,
true.
Ellen,
we'll leave it at that. We're going to be talking about this for the rest of time.
Yeah. I think Ellen's not canceled to me. I don't want to say.
Right.
I mean, she's, like, some people say cancel culture.
Oh,
you know what
I was
mean?
Like, yeah, no, she's not ratings through
not
the roof.
Canceled.
She's not canceled.
I'm willing to give her a chance to, like, redeem herself. And she has done so many amazing things for queer people in the world. And has,
underwear sales. She's done great
sales,
things for underwear.
Really
she's done great things for dancing.
Hygiene.
Honestly, I love dancing. I think she's made it more normal. She's normalized dancing.
But yeah, I still feel conflicted. And I guess that's where we'll end this episode.
And know what life is about? It's about conflict. It's
conflict.
About tension.
It's about walking through that door. Hashtag full circle walking through the door that you're scared to walk through.
Oh my God,
especially when
you're on acid. Maybe
and an apology is walking through the door you're afraid of.
And Ellen needs to do acid. Okay.
Thank you for watching. Let us know what you think about.
Listening, my friend.
What?
You said thank you for watching.
Well,
we're not on YouTube, babe. Get your medium straight.
Well, they might. These go up on YouTube. And hashtag we might try and start filming these soon. Do you guys want that? Hashtag sign up podcast. Do you want to
see? Do you
want to
see my dewy
just
face?
Just see like the side of our faces talking in a darkly
my
lit room.
Face.
Honestly, tweet us. Let us know what you think about the Ellen situation, the Kevin Hart situation. Are we overreacting? Do you think we have good, solid points? And how can we, like, keep this conversation going in a way that's constructive?
So use the hashtag Side Note Podcast. We are obsessed with reading that and seeing where you guys are at with this pod. You can talk to us directly at Mitchell Moffitt, at WhaleWatchMePLZ. And we're excited for next week when we hash into a new controversial subject and get the science throughout.
Yes,
we're excited for 2020, to be honest, because 2019 has not been so great.
Yeah,
2020,
it's
2020.
Already a bust, but we'll endure it with you. Talk to you next time.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.